for tonight, as we get into our message time, the third commandment is where we are going to return in our Sunday evening series, Oh, How Love I Thy Law. So head back with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, where at the foot of Mount Sinai, the Lord himself gave this command to his people. There in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, for the last couple of Sundays, we have actually looked at why this commandment was given, as well as how this commandment is all too often broken, not just by the world, but even by those who profess the name of Christ. Well, this commandment was given because the name and the names and titles of God are very, very special. Special to him, and they ought to be special to us. In fact, the names of God reveal to us the very nature of God, and that's what makes them so special. And that is especially true when it comes to the personal name of God that we find here in this commandment. Capital L-O-R-D, Lord, is the translation for his personal proper name, Yahweh, also translated in English, Jehovah. And so the Lord says again, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And yet, sadly, that is precisely what we have done at different times and in different ways, really all throughout our lives. We have, and unfortunately sometimes still do, take the Lord's name in vain. Sometimes in our words, regretfully, but other times, and perhaps even most of the time, in our walk. When we claim to believe in his name, and yet we fail to live for his name. That too is taking the name of the Lord upon us in a vain and empty way. Because again, how you treat the name of the Lord will actually reveal what you think about the nature of the Lord. And so the Lord says to us again, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So not only is this command profitable for doctrine by telling us something about God and his nature and his name, it is also profitable for reproof by telling us something about ourselves and our sin. But there is something more for us in this commandment as well, because it is also profitable for correction. That is how we are reminded in 2 Timothy 3:16 is profitable for correction by once again pointing us in the direction of the only one who can help us with our failure to keep the commandments of God, including and especially this third commandment that we've been looking at. That is, it should point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who, in all the ways that we have failed to honor God and his name, actually came to fulfill. This is the reason why Jesus actually came in the name of the Lord. And I'd like us to turn now to the New Testament Gospel of John. And we're going to spend the rest of our time in this gospel, where Jesus himself says this is the reason he came. There in John chapter 5, verse 43. Again, Jesus says, I am come. How? In my Father's name. And ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. But the first part of this verse is very important because it shows to us that Jesus Christ actually came in the name of his Father. And then, of course, he lived his entire life for the glory of his name, the name of his Father. He did not ever take the name of the Lord his God, his own Father in heaven, in vain, ever. And really, what greater honor is it than to take another's name for yourself? This is what many parents choose to do when they have a child, isn't it? They name their child after someone that was special to them. This is what my own parents did for me when they named me, maybe not my first name, but when they gave me my middle name, it was in honor of my grandfather, Anthony J. Precard. And so that was special to them, and they wanted it to be special to me as well. Now, in this case, though, I didn't have a choice in that name. But it is an honor to have that name. But it's just not an honor that I, at that time of my birth, chose to give. But it's even more special, isn't it? When you take someone's name upon yourself, of your own choice, of your own volition. For example, when my wife and I were married, she took my last name as her own. That was her choice. That was of her own free will and volition. And even after nearly 25 years of marriage, I am still moved when I think of the honor that she expressed to me by taking on my name. There is great honor in taking the name of someone else for yourself, and that is how Jesus honored his Father in heaven. So, though God himself, yet Jesus Christ came in his Father's name. And for the rest of our time tonight, we're going to look at just what this means. First, it means that Jesus came with a commission from his Father. A commission from his Father. You see, to come in someone's name means that you were actually sent in that person's name. It's like when an ambassador is sent to another country. Not only do they represent their country, but they actually represent the leader of that country. And in our case, if an ambassador goes to another country, they represent the president of the United States. They go in his name. And so when the ambassador acts in his or her official capacity, they do so in the name of the president. And this is even more true of the Lord Jesus. When he came in his Father's name, he came with a very special commission from his Father. As the ambassador to this world and the ambassador to us, and with that commission, he came with the very authority of the Lord himself. Just like an official ambassador is given authority from the president to act in his name, Jesus himself was given the authority of his Father to fulfill his purpose and to accomplish his will at his coming. In fact, this is what Jesus himself said. If you go with me just a page or two over to John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 38, where Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven," of course, in his Father's name, right? "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." You see, Jesus was faithful when he came in the name and with the authority of his Father, the Lord. But he also came with the approval of the Lord, didn't he? The approval. If you go over another page or two to John chapter 8, we see this beginning verse 25 through verse 30. John 8, 25. "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. But then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. And what I do, nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him." See, again, Jesus says in verse 29 that he always did, always those things that pleased his Father. But this really wasn't just the testimony of Jesus, was it? It was actually the witness of God the Father himself about his Son that he pleased him. Remember when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist? His Father was there. In fact, his Father saw that baptism and said from Matthew 3:17, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You see, when Jesus came in the name of his Father, it was with his authority and with his approval and his pleasure. And then when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, his Father again was there, wasn't he? And he even said from a bright cloud in Matthew 17, again, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So we see that when Jesus came in the name of the Lord, his own Father, he honored his name by being faithful to the commission he was given. So tonight, remember that in all the ways that you and I may have failed to honor God and his name by breaking the third commandment, Jesus Christ came to fulfill. And he did. And that's why we can trust in him. Jesus came in his Father's name. This also means, number two, that he came with a commitment to his Father. A commitment to his Father. We find Jesus' commitment to the name of the Lord really in every aspect of his life. Now, we've already seen his commitment to the will of his Father. But even more, he was also committed to the works of his Father. And if you go over just a few more pages to John chapter 10, verse 24, we see this come into play. John 10, 24 and 25, when Jesus was there in the temple, it says that then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." You see, all the works Jesus did, all of them, every single one, from start to finish, he did in the name of his Father, who is the Lord. He honored the name of the Lord in the spirit of that third commandment. Jesus was also committed to the witness of his Father, to the witness of his Father. Again, we see this in John chapter 17. If you go there with me, this passage, this entire chapter is the high priestly prayer of Jesus to his heavenly Father. And I want to focus just on one verse where in John 17:6, Jesus says these words to his Father, "I have manifested thy name. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." It wasn't just in this prayer. It wasn't just at his birth or at his death. All throughout his life, Jesus manifested and gave witness to the name of his Father, who is the Lord. He honored the name of the Lord. Again, in the spirit of that third commandment. But then we can also see that Jesus was committed even to the very wonder of his Father. The wonder of his Father. If you go back a few pages to John chapter 12, in verse 28, we hear a plea from Jesus' own lips. John 12, 28, he says, "Father, glorify thy name. Glorify thy name." And then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." You see, when Jesus was here in this world, he wanted the name of his Father, the name of the Lord, to be glorified in every area, every aspect of his life, and even through his death. This is what Jesus meant when he said in John 5:43, "I am come in my Father's name." He came with a commitment to his Father, and that is why we can now turn to and trust in Jesus. Because in all the ways that you and I have failed to honor God and his name, Jesus actually came to fulfill And he did. Jesus came in his Father's name. But then this also means, third, that he came with a character like his Father. You know, a lot of children, when they're young, they want to be just like their parents. Maybe the mother is a nurse and the daughter wants to be a nurse. Or the father is a doctor and the child wants to be a doctor or a fireman. Of course, that sentiment usually changes as they get older, and that's certainly okay. But when a child actually does grow up and choose to follow in his or her parents' footsteps, it really is a great honor. It really is a great honor. Even as the old adage goes, imitation is still the best form of flattery. But when Jesus came in his Father's name, he came not only with the same character, but he actually came in the same nature. Jesus is God. Jesus is the same Lord that we read about there in the third commandment. He is God himself. In John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, and a few more pages over from where you are again, Jesus said this, John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And then he adds, "My Father, which gave them, he is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." That is, they are one in nature, they are one in character, and they are one in purpose. What greater honor could Jesus have given when he actually came in his Father's name? You know, Jesus Christ never took the Lord's name in vain. Not in word, not in his walk, not certainly in his worship when he was here in this world. In fact, in all the ways that we have failed and continue to fail to honor God and his name, Jesus did come and fulfill it for us. And that is why now you and I should not only receive the witness of Jesus about the name of God the Father, but we should also receive the witness of the Father about the name of God the Son. Because if you remember what happened just a week before the resurrection of Jesus on that Sunday that is known around the world today as Palm Sunday, what did the people say? What did the people shout as Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem, riding on that colt? In John chapter 12, verse 13, again, still in the Gospel of John, they all, it says, took branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him, meet Jesus, and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." The words that those people used on that victorious day came from the book of Psalms. Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26, which is actually a prophecy and a testimony about the coming Messiah, who was, of course, the Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus actually came just as was prophesied and just as the people shouted and said. He came in the name of the Lord. And so to honor the name of the Lord, we need to honor and bless the one who came in the name of the Lord. That is Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Next Sunday, we're going to look at what the third commandment can also tell us about living for the Lord as well. But as Christ came in the name of his Father, now we are to go in the name of the Son. And by doing so, we honor the name of the Lord in the spirit of the third commandment. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our all in all. I thank you that he came in your name in order to fulfill all righteousness, in order to fulfill the command that we break so often, not just in word, but even in deed in our life. When we, again, profess the name of the Lord and yet fail to live for Him, for you. And so, Father, I pray that You will help us to confess that, to repent from that, but then, Lord, to look to Jesus, who fulfilled it completely and perfectly, wholly and eternally on our behalf. It is His righteousness that we rely on. And so, Father, I pray that when we struggle, if we struggle with taking the Lord's name in vain, in word, in our walk, may we cling to Christ. May we turn back to Him. May we remember the things that we even heard from Romans chapter 3 this morning, to recognize that our salvation comes in the name of the Lord. And so, Father, I pray that we will trust in Him. Jesus is the one who corrects our failures to keep Your commandments. So help us to have respect for His name. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.